Welcome. It's Tuesday night right here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. I am your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as a Bad Bat Cast. And welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, once again, December 27th, and the week after Christmas. So here's to hoping that you got everything you wanted and needed for Christmas. And here's wishing to a Happy New Year for everybody. All right, man. And fishing this weekend, man. It was Christmas. It was weather is quite warm here in Florida lately for December, so we're quite lucky. Today was very, very. The temperature dropped. We got a cold front come through today, so it's dropping. It's in the 50s right now, or approaching the 50s. which is wintertime for me, man. I got my robe on and everything, my nice Christmas robe. So, no, I'm wearing clothes with it, too. Don't worry. More clothes, you're welcome. Got the gang here on the chat room there, Mr. Yak Sushi and the Hammerhead and Mr. Lozier. And everybody's kind of trickling in. Yeah. And I hear Chip banging around on the phone there, man. How you doing, Chip?
I'm good, man. I thought awesome. The robe was just kind of, you're getting into all the Gladiator movies you got for Christmas. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting there. That's what I got the robe on for, man.
That's right.
I've just been watching too many of that. Now I just got to put my sandals on and I'm good.
You're good, man.
No, it was a Blu-ray score for me, man. I got all kinds of Sword and Sandal X. Oliver Stone did one a couple of years ago. It was about the same time that Troy came out. And I get them confused and I forget what it was called. But it was another good one, so it was cool. So anyway, yes, we had a great Christmas, you know, kind of laid back time with the family. I made my famous spaghetti sauce in the crock pot, and it was fantastic. So we had a good time. And I got to hang out with my grandmother on Christmas day. And she was telling me the old time recipe for apple butter. Like the actual, she's 94, so you have to remember, this is the real deal. So she was telling me how they used to make that in a big copper kettle out in the backyard when they were little. And it would have to cook in the backyard on a fire in a copper kettle for like 2 days, she said. The whole neighborhood would smell like it, she said. So it was pretty cool. At least I know how to do that now. Yay! All right,
that's
Mrs.
Cool.
Lozier's in the house. Yes? What was it, Jim?
Yeah. My favorite was the pear butter that my wife's grandmother used to make.
What kind of spices do you put in that?
I don't know. She passed on and nobody can find the recipe.
Oh, bummer.
I know, right?
Hmm. Well, cool.
So let's talk about fishing.
Yeah, man. Sorry to get off on the on the wrong track there. New Year's is coming up, man, and I'm making some changes in my life and for the better. And one of those things that I wanted to do this year, and we'll get back to it, is actually enjoy fishing without any kind of pressure, without to actually enjoy fishing, actually go out. Be one of the boys, go out fishing, not have to worry about writing articles, taking pictures, making movies, doing a radio show. So that's one of the things that I'm focusing on this year. Because it does. It puts a lot of pressure on me, stress. And fishing isn't what it used to be without having to worry about all of the aforementioned. So I'm kind of looking forward to doing that a little bit. We'll get back to all of that later. Did go fishing yesterday, I get my days mixed up here with all the holidays. me and my buddy Alan, the Suwannee refugee, went out off of Dunedin Causeway, and we had a fantastic day yesterday amid gray overcast skies. It looked like a snowy kind of snow skies, you know, as it were, if you're familiar with that, you know, that just kind of low-lying overcast gray, you know, looking stuff, kind of foggy looking. And we went out off of Dunedin Causeway, and we noticed it was a negative low tide, first of all. And we went out there, and there's a really shallow grass flat that if you don't know it's there, you won't usually see it if it's not a negative low tide. But, of course, yesterday it was sticking out of the water. And I know that there's a deep edge that runs along that out to Hurricane Pass. So I was thinking we'll fish the edge of that on the incoming tide and maybe find some flounder on that drop-off or some trout or something like that. And there wasn't so much on that drop-off, but as the wind kind of pushed us into a deeper flat, we're talking 5, 6, 7 feet. It was great. We were catching big trout. Most of our trout yesterday were probably keeper size or bigger, up to about, I think the biggest one we caught all day was 25 inches, and that was awesome. It was a mixed bag, though. My buddy Alan caught a bluefish, of all things. I caught several legal-sized black sea bass, which is kind of odd for that, you know, inshore, kind of, you know, intercoastal. And they were all on, you know, mostly soft plastics, and I was trying to think of what else. There was something else, another oddball fish, and I can't remember right now what it was. All on soft plastics, the DOA curly tail jigs with a 1/16 ounce jig head. And they were chasing it, man. Fish were very aggressive. It was almost like a springtime pattern, except instead of being shallow, they were deep. And it was really weird. So, you know, it was all, you know, throw out. You know, they wanted a jerky retrieve. I even got a couple on, you know, doing kind of like a, almost like a butterfly jigging action. You know, you cast it out, let it sink, pull it up about 2 or 3 feet, let it sink back down again. It was a blast. So it was cool. All hey now, no banging on the fly fishing peeps. We're not all fancy, Rich. That's cool. Yeah, I know. It needs to be February. By the way, folks, if you haven't planned to do so, make sure that you make your reservations for the always popular and legendary Chocolasaki Boondoggle, which is upcoming President's Day weekend, February 17th through the 20th, or longer if you decide so. I don't know if we're going a day early and staying a day late or something like that, but we're going, man. It's going to be a blast. So make your reservations. If you need instructions on how to do so, go to the always popular Kayak Fishing Radio /boondoggle or yakangler.com/boondoggle. And I'm not sure if there's any accommodations at where we're staying, but we can get you sorted out, maybe tell you where some of the other accommodations close by will be. And there are some sort of camping spots and things of that nature nearby. So don't worry, you won't be left out in the cold. There's plenty of people, and we'll be sure to get spread out evenly. So anyway... So that was the weekend fishing trip. My buddy Alan was out fishing around Apollo Beach, and he had a good day the day before. Actually, he was out fishing on Christmas, and the redfish bite was crazy, and actually picked up a couple of snook too. So it was awesome. He was actually took one of them home, one of the upper slot redfish that he had there. And you know, he likes to cut them open and see what they've been eating, you know, just to check it out. And he said, you know, the funny thing is he knows my love for lizard fish. And he actually said he found several, about 6-inch long lizard fish inside this 25-inch redfish. So, you know, don't discount those for bait. I thought that was pretty funny myself, because I'm like the bane of the can't stand the lizard fish and the oyster toads. Those are the trash fish that always haunt me wherever I go. Although yesterday there was actually no garbage fish to be had. We caught very few dink trout and saw absolutely no needle fish, no lizard fish, no anything garbage fish wise, which was great. I was very happy about that. But on the other hand, didn't see one mullet, which is really strange. So yesterday, after we drifted the deeper stuff, the deeper flats there, kind of went up shallow, you know, 2 and 3 feet flat, 3 foot flats, thinking the redfish and the flounder and some other stuff might be a little bit shallower, because, you know, you got to remember, we've had a pretty warm winter so far. Water temp was only been, yesterday it was 67. And, yeah. So, it was great. It was good to get out and good to have a nice day once in a while, even though it was windy and wavy. So you got to do that once in a while. Yeah, so let's talk about the year that was. I've been doing my show for a year. I started doing that last December. And I'm really glad that my first show, which was the 30-minute episode of Kayak Fishing Radio, was kind of lost to Kayak Fishing Radio gods, and is kind of lost because we were doing something a little bit different than Chip was still in Talk Shoe, I believe, back then. And I was like the guinea pig for Blog Talk Radio. And it was pretty neat. yeah. Oh, come on, Greg. They're making fun of me in the chat room about my dry suit on. It wasn't that bad yesterday. It was, you know, windy, a little bit chilly. But I made it.
You were warm, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Actually, I usually wear like one of the compression shirts underneath whatever shirt I'm wearing, you know. And I did that, and I didn't do that yesterday, so I was a little bit on the chilly side. I was glad to get out of the water when I got done. Let's say that. Yeah, so it was kind of windy and wavy. It was not a comfortable day to be on the water. It wasn't freezing cold, but it was a little bit chilly. You know, it was in probably the lower range that I can actually stand before I'm looking for a blanket and a nice warm fire or something. So no, it was good. It was, you know, it was a good day to be had yesterday. So you know, you can't always be, you know, 84 degrees and flat calm and incoming tide and fish every cast, you know. Yeah, so it's okay. So anyway, yeah, like a year ago, I did start the show. I've had a good time doing it, and you know, I'm not abandoning Kayak Fishing Radio by any means. I just need a bit of a vacation from it. And let's see, some of my favorite guests last year. Let's see, I had who was some of my Redfish Chuck was a guest on my show about a year ago. Let's see, what else was another good one? The gentleman from Kayak Wars actually came on and talked about the tournament back in February. Who else? Who else was another notable guest? Oh, I know. One of my first guests, actually, was the always popular Rebecca Garlock, the outdoorist, who is a really cool chick, runs the Outdoor Bloggers Network and things of that nature. She was awesome. She always is. So if you get a chance, read some of her stuff. And if you're not a member of the Outdoor Bloggers Network, check it out. You can actually find it's a good resource for finding outdoor blogs and reviews and all sorts of stuff. I'm trying to think of Steve Gibson was from Sarasota, from Southern Draw Kayak Fishing. He was a guest on my show last year. One of my favorite stories that he told me was he's an avid fly fisherman. So the first time that he ever went out after bonefish, he actually it was a funny story. He went and his first time out caught a 15-pound bonefish down in the Keys. First time on fly, you know, that's quite a feat. And that's like the pinnacle of fly fishing for bonefish is a 15-pound bonefish. So it's kind of like, you know, once you start at the pinnacle, you know, where do you go from there? Any idea, Chip?
Let's see. what about the boondoggles? Or the boondoggle at Little Talbot?
Yeah, that was a great time. But what I was saying was about the pinnacle of fly fishing for bonefish is catching a 15-pounder on your first time out. Like my guest Steve Gibson was telling me the story about one time, and I thought that was pretty awesome. It's like how do you go, you know, what do you strive for the rest of the time, you know, when you start off at the pinnacle, you know, what do you got to strive for? The boondoggle back in February, that was an awesome time. The landing crew drove all the way from Virginia to my house to pick me up, and then we all went to Little Talbot Island up in Jacksonville and went fishing for a couple of days, and it was awesome. That was my first time in the kayak in several months, that whole trip. So, needless to say, I was like really sore and tired. I'm old, or I'm getting there anyway. And I'm so old. When I was born, the Dead Sea wasn't even sick yet. Thank you.
I'm the one that put the salt in it. What are you talking about? You're old.
That was my first time in a kayak. Last year, the last day I was out fishing in a kayak was, I think it was the week of Thanksgiving, and I didn't get in a kayak till the boondoggle in February. So after that, you know, 4-mile paddle down the river and then back up the river and then the big slog, and then, needless to say, I was like really, really tired and sore. And got up at 3:00 in the morning the next day to go to Mosquito Lagoon and fish with Dee and Chuck, and that was awesome. Getting carried away by mosquitoes and catching a bazillion redfish, it was a blast. In the fog, remember the fog? That was so cool. We're out there like right when the sun is coming up, and it's like just socked in with fog. It was awesome. Very. Very, very,
ethereal.
Yeah, it was, you know, you just needed some, like, killer ambient music going, you know. It was really neat. I got a really good picture when we were there of Dee standing up in her kayak, and she's silhouetted against the sun, like the rising sun is just above the horizon, and there's all this fog around, and it was just, like, a really surreal-looking picture, man. I don't think you could have, like, set that up in like a photo session, you know, any better. That was just so flipping awesome. Oh man. I'm trying to think what were some other highlights? The trip to Mosquito Lagoon in April, that was a good time. It was kind of like a mini boondoggle. Boondoggle right. 1.5 or something, you know. Yeah, a bunch of us got together and met up with Dee and Chuck and Vicky, and we went out there and had fun, man. The Clone, Chip was out there. We had a blast. 2 days of that, and the Dixie Crossroads, which is a restaurant in Titusville. That was a really good place to eat. So if you're ever in Titusville, make sure you go to the Dixie Crossroads. It was rock shrimp. Yes. Remember the rock shrimp, Chip?
Right. They have like a special technique for shelling them or something.
Yes. Yes. It was very, it was my first time ever sampling those. That was really good. Oh, man. I'm trying to think of some other good fishing trips. Oh, yeah, man. One of my first night dock fishing soirees here in the spring, I happened upon a dock full of snook right there in the Bel Air Causeway area. And one of my first casts out there actually got about 40 inch snook on the line, and it's dragging me and my my kayak and my anchor, and I ended up losing it, but I pulled it back in and my hook was bent out. It was a J when I started, now and then it turned into an L. That was one of my highlights of the year. You know, it doesn't you don't always have to get the fish in to really enjoy that. Let's see, what else? My tarpon experience in the flats of Dunedin in the intercoastal. Tarpon rolls 10 feet away from the kayak as I'm drifting across the flat and scared me to death. That was that was really cool. Oh, man.
What about the creature thing? Charlie, 12 o'clock.
Yes. 2 o'clock Charlie. 2 o'clock Charlie is either a small snook or a small tarpon or a large snook that has taken me and my friends on rides at various times. Right there, 2 o'clock Charlie, we call him that because usually we run into him about the time we're heading back in. And somebody usually hooks up with him and gets drug around for a little while. Might be Keith hooked up with him, and it actually ended up dumping his kayak. That was pretty funny. And another time he drugged me around and ended up, that was, oh God, when I used to play around with 10-pound braid. And the 10-pound braid was... I used to love that, man, because you could just cast anything a mile, you know. It could just be like a, just use a regular old soft plastic bait with just a hook, you know, and you could cast that thing like, you know, a mile. It was great. And one day, 2 o'clock Charlie reared his ugly head right there next to Sankey Bridge and towed me around and, you know, he's pulling me. And I decided, okay, I've had enough. I'm running out of line here on my spool. So I decided to tighten up my drag a little bit and show him who's the boss. And snap, there it comes back. I got a broken piece of broken end of 10-pound braid. So from that point on, I swore to never use 10 or 15-pound, and nothing under 20. So that was my learning experience there. Plus, I fish around a lot of structure. So, you know, if you get a large fish that decides to run you through some docks or something, you might have a chance, at least for a second, to try to get him out. Oh, yeah. So that was my I had a great year fishing this year, man. Even though, you know, I don't have a lot of documentation to show it, I did a lot of fishing this year, probably more than I did last year, and all sorts of styles, and I mean, you know, different seasons dictate different kinds of fishing, and it's a lot of fun, as you all know. So it'll be good. I'm not going to totally disappear off the face of the earth or anything. you know, everybody else has fishing shows every night of the week, so I'm going to be around that quite a bit. So you haven't heard the last of me. Yeah, I know. Everybody's rolling their eyes going, why not? Dang it. I'm trying to think of some other highlights this year, in the past year. I don't know. I have, like, luckily for me, short-term memory. Being stranded in West Virginia, that was a lot of fun, believe it or not. On my way to the Charleston boondoggle, yes, I got stranded in Charleston, West Virginia. I got on the wrong plane. I'm kidding. Where's my sound bites, man? Yeah, get it? I was supposed to go to Charleston, South Carolina, and I ended up in Charleston, West Virginia. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Wow. Let's see. What? Help me think of some other. Yeah. So I get there, and my partner for the boondoggle didn't show up at the airport to pick me up. So there I am, in a strange city, and I have to say that everybody involved was awesome, trying to help me get unstranded from Charleston, West Virginia, and to Charleston, South Carolina. I never talked about it, really, after the fact because, let's just say I just never talked about it. But anyway, so being in a strange city with limited resources and, that's kind of, luckily for me, I spent a lot of time in airports and playing this kind of game. So it wasn't like, I wasn't freaking out or anything. I wasn't thinking I was going to be homeless or anything, but it's kind of a lonely feeling when you don't know anybody, you know, where you're going and you're kind of alone. But everybody in the Kayak Fishing Radio family, Chip and Chuck and the landing crew and Kayak Kevin and everybody really kind of was, you know, I didn't really feel that alone, man, because my phone was always going off with a text or a phone call or an email or something like that. So I never really did take the time and say thank you to everybody for that. But that was fantastic. So thank you. This is that's my thank you to everybody involved for looking out for me. And even though I didn't make it to Charleston, South Carolina, I was kind of wrecked and upset about that, and I wasn't really you're not in the mood to go fishing now, you know, after all of your grandiose plans fell through and all of that stuff. Halcyon days. But
you're going to be there in February, right?
Absolutely, man. There's no way getting out of it. Who's Fisherwoman? Who came back when I leave? I know. I should have gotten on the bus. Everybody's telling me. Oh, man.
Fisherwoman, that's Vicky, right?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering. Oh, man. So, here I am in Charleston, West Virginia, stranded. My plan fell through and exploded in my face. And Chip's on the phone with me, and he's like going through all of these resources to try to help me get from point A to point B, you know. And it's like, why don't you just change flights and go from Charleston, West Virginia to Charleston, South Carolina? Okay. Yeah, that was like, I don't know, that was way, way expensive. It was like, I don't know, $600 or something to change your ticket. So we're sitting there, and Chip has this, all right, check this out. There's a Greyhound bus leaving from Charleston, West Virginia to Charleston, South Carolina, and you'll get here, it leaves at midnight, and you'll get here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow to Charleston, South Carolina. I was like, yeah, wow, that was awesome. That was great, man. That was really cool. And the outreach that everybody really reached out to me and tried to help me. And at that, I apologize to everybody for not showing up, but I was really I just wanted to crawl back under my rock and, you know, kind of, I know that, you know, Marines never quit and all that stuff. But sometimes, man, after you get kind of punched in the face like that, you just kind of want to crawl out, you know, under your rock and pull your little blankie robe up over your head and maybe wake up tomorrow and have a better day, you know? I don't know. But anyway, so I've had a great year on the radio. I've had a great year writing my blog, and I appreciate everybody who was a part of that and actually reads, you know, would read my blog and leave comments and all of that stuff. I appreciate it. I know I haven't written a good article since about August, so I apologize for that. But I just need to take a vacation away from things, and but I will be back stronger than ever one day. So I apologize. I'm not crapping out on anything or anybody. I got to tell you, man, it's difficult coming up with a show every week, week in, week out. You know, and not have the same exact show every week. You know, and it's fun. Don't get me wrong, it's a lot of fun. But after a while, you know, you start going, wow, man, is my show turning into the same thing every week? And you know, when you have a lot of guests and a lot of, you know, new gear to talk about and subject matter and stuff that pertain to, you know, the kind of fishing that I do, then it's great. But, you know, when you don't have that sort of stuff, it's really tough sometimes pulling stuff together. And I can, you know, a lot of times I would be really well prepared and have a hour and a half, 2 hours worth of show, or, well, maybe I won't go 2 hours, but sometimes we'd go an hour and a half. But, you know, and it would be great, you know, and talking to people, and people are calling in and everything. And then there's other times when you'd go, wow, you know, the British lady is talking in your ear going, 5 minutes till the beginning of your show. And 5 minutes till showtime. And you're like, man, you know, I don't even know what I'm going to talk about tonight. So definitely give these guys some leeway, and definitely support your kayak fishing radio hosts, because it's not easy, man. Everybody sits around and says, oh yeah, I can do that, man, that's cool, until you're sitting there and you got a sheet worth of stuff and that you just talked about, and you look at the clock and it's 8:15, you know, and you still got 45 minutes to an hour to keep going and talking about, and you just talked about everything on your that you wrote down that you were going to talk about in 15 minutes. So, but I'll tell you, man, I love kayak fishing. It's a big part of my life, and I'm not going to stop. But I just want to know what it's like to go fishing without having to worry about writing an article or shooting video or doing a radio show or anything like that. It's been a long time since I've done that. I put a lot of pressure on myself because I just want to be good at what I do. And I feel like I haven't been for a while. So that's why I need to step away from the keyboard and step away from the radio show microphone, the big old 1950s style radio microphone right here at Bad Backcast Central for a little while, and kind of take a look at things from an outsider's point of view. You know, I'm not the big pro and the big, you know, that, you know, sometimes
it's like Zen, man. You have to forget everything, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not forget everything, man. I have a lot of great memories from doing the stuff, you know. But it's just like a little vacation, you know. I need to, you know, go into the basement for a little while, you know. You kind of run out of stuff without having to want to do the same thing over and over and over and over again, you know, and rehash the same thing every week and every, you know, everybody deserves to listen to a radio show that's not the same thing every week. And sometimes it's hard creating that, you know, it's hard coming up with that. I don't know, you know, I like to have a format when I do my show, you know, and have, you know, follow you know, something instead of just, you know, hitting the go button and winging it, you know. I don't know. But I really appreciate everybody's support and listening to the show, and I'm just a regular fisherman like anybody else, man. And I'm looking forward to going fishing and going, wow, I don't have to write an article and I don't have to worry about anything except going out and fishing and having fun. What do you think, Chip?
I'm with you, man. sorry, I've had dog fights going on here in the background, so I just
okay.
I'm sitting in another room of the studio here, and the dogs just decided that it was going to be romper room night tonight. So,
oh, I figured you got, like, you know, Dogfight 1942 or something, and you were playing while I was going on.
No, it's a Australian Shepherd and a Jack Russell Terrorist going crazy.
That's cool. At least, you know, you have a dog like that you can fit in your kayak, man. I wish I could take dog with me. She would, if I had room in my kayak for her, she would, she'd probably dig that. You know, once in a while I'll take her out fishing and I'll put her big, long 50-foot leash on and, you know, stake her to the ground and, you know, and I'll start fishing. And she has a nose for it, man. She'll she'll see the bait fish scattering and everything, and she'll, she notices that, man. She's, like, wondering what that is and everything and sniffing around towards it. And but my dog's favorite thing to do when we're out there and it's, she'll start digging stuff up, and she'll find a, you know, a couple of week old mullet there, you know, buried in the sand, and or dead pinfish or whatever, and try to and she'll start eating this stuff right then and there, man. And I'm like, man, come on, Lacey, you're crazy. That's gross. And then, you know, she's blowing her stinky fish breath on you on the way home, thinking she did something. but I wish I could get her out in the kayak with me. I wish there was room. You know, she's kind of a bigger dog. She's a medium-sized dog. She's not a beagle. Everybody thinks she's a beagle, but she's a Walker Coonhound, which is like a bigger beagle. She's got longer legs, and she's a little bit bigger. Beagles usually top out about 30 pounds, and she's about 70. So she's just a little bit bigger. Same type of dog. You know, they're tri-colored, have the floppy ears and the cute face like a beagle does. A little bit slightly longer nose, but same bark, a little bit deeper bark than a beagle. But she's a fantastic dog, man. I'm definitely blessed to have such a good and loyal friend. That's a well-behaved dog. So I wish I could. She would love to see me catching these fish, man. She would just absolutely be so curious and want to be part of that, man. So maybe one day I'll get a kayak that I can actually take her in, and get her a little
that
doggy.
That mariner that Jim Van Pelt, he just picked up a new.
Native
Mariner, the Propel. It looks like a carrier deck on the back of that thing, man.
Yeah.
It's just a big flat area, like a pickup truck back there.
Yeah. She would love that. That's definitely a a type of and I've seen those up close too, man. Those are pretty nice kayaks. I've heard good things about the Mariner Drive, you know, that you can, you know, go backwards and everything. I've never paddled one, but excuse me. That was a really big, you're right, it's a big flat deck. Looks like an aircraft carrier. Wonder what that, what is that for?
Landed small helicopters on, I think.
Oh yeah. The RC, I bet you the radio controlled helicopter guys would love that thing. put a GoPro on it and there you go. I just want to put a GoPro on everything. Well, not everything, but a lot of things.
I know I'm thinking that for the boondoggle, we need to get we need to find a weather balloon and then attach a GoPro to it and then run it up, you know, tie it to a rod and run it up in the air over the top of us while we're all fishing.
Yeah, that's actually, I saw a YouTube video on how to make a cheap rig for your GoPro to do, you know, some cheap aerial shots. And it was actually a lot, I don't know, where can you actually get a weather balloon or a large balloon in it that you can actually, you know, fill up with helium and be in some control of the thing with without worrying about your GoPro taking off into the heavens.
tied onto a reel.
Yeah, they rigged it up with fishing line on a fishing pole, and it actually worked and it looked really good. Except they had about 30 helium balloons attached to it, you know. And you get the kit from Walmart, and it's actually the same kind of canister that your propane comes in, you know, for your grill, except it's helium.
Yeah,
yeah, all we need is one of those and like a larger. God, I remember back in the day they used to make larger balloons that you could. They called them punching bag balloons or something. They were quite large. I bet you that would probably float a GoPro.
Yeah, I'm thinking it will.
Yeah, man. You just need the thing to point down, though. You know, if you can keep it pointing down, you'll be in business. But that looks really cool.
I don't think that'd
be a
problem.
Do that. Yeah. Also, kites. You can attach GoPros to kites. I'm not sure, but I've seen some video from that style of thing, and it looks really cool. A guy was actually holding a kite, and he's got the GoPro facing him, and he throws it off the back of his sailboat, and it was actually really cool because he just kind of like tossed it, and then went way up in the air really fast, and there was a guy sitting on a sailboat, man. That was pretty cool. Also, that, you know, that Swan camera that Chuck had a couple of weeks ago that he was talking about, I looked into that, and that's actually a pretty nice camera. The thing I like about that is it has a remote control on the thing, and I thought that was awesome. That's one thing that the GoPro is lacking. You know, if it's rigged to the bow of your kayak, how are you going to turn the thing on and off? You know, so the remote control thing kind of comes in handy. So it was a Swan. It comes from like the same Swan manufacturer's surveillance cameras. Oh man, let me see. What else did we have? Did anybody figure out if the fisherwoman was actually Vicky?
Yes, it was Vicky.
It was? Okay.
Yeah, it was Vicky. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that she came in. That was awesome. I haven't seen her around for a while.
Yep. So.
Except when she's out with Dee, you know, catching giant trout.
I know, right? So.
Cool.
All right. Well, I'm about done for the evening, man.
All righty. Well, thank you for coming in, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.
It's been fun, man. Don't be a stranger.
I'm not, man. I'll still be around. But thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. I've had a good year, man. All right, man. That was the godfather, Chip Gibson. He's the one that got us all started on this stuff, you know. I remember sitting around this wing place with Chip one day. And Yak Sushi and Adam, and he was talking about that. Yeah, we can do radio via the internet. And I'm like, really? Wow, that sounds cool. I remember that. And then it took me about a month to start listening in after he got it started. I kept forgetting about it, you know? Just not something that you always think about. But it was fun. It's been fun doing my show. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to fish like a fisher person and not have to worry about anything. It's a lot of stress, man. That's how I feel about guides, you know, when guides, that's what it feels like to be a guide, I guess. If you're a decent dude and you worry about whether or not you're going to put your clients on fish. Well, with my blog and my radio show and everything, that was always my clients, you know. And when I'd go out fishing and I got skunked or I had a bad day on the water or something like that, I feel like I let my clients down, you know, all of the people that read the blog or listen to the show or something like that. And it gets kind of tough after a while. But I'll still be around, man. And I'll concentrate on doing some videos and stuff like that. I actually got some footage yesterday. I haven't looked at it, but we'll see if I can put together something. But anyway, so that's my show, and I appreciate everybody. I appreciate Redfish Chuck for being my good friend and my constant co-host, and Mr. Greg Hammerhead Crisp for always being around, and Landing Crew and the Loziers and everybody that's been involved with the show in my last year doing this. And I'd like to thank, no, I'm not Michael Jackson at the Grammys, but Mr. Yak Sushi, he was very instrumental. And a lot of nice support. And I know I'm forgetting people. But I'll be around, man. I'm not, like, disappearing off the face of the earth. I'll still be here. And we will be... might be on other people's shows and stuff. But see if I can drop another meat stick bomb on Chip's show or on Chuck's show or somebody else. leave it up to me, man. But I'm looking forward to getting out fishing and not having to worry about pressure. So I know I've said that about 10 times in a row now, but that's really what I'm looking forward to. So everybody, have a good new year. I'm going to work on myself this new year a little bit more than I have been. Sometimes you neglect yourself. And sometimes you need to pay a little bit of attention to yourself in order to get yourself back. So I wish everybody a happy new year, and thank you for listening to the show. And this is Rob, a Bad Batcast Devor. And I am logging. I'm going to log off for my final time. And just
to
let everybody know.
You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio.
Yes, that's right. And don't forget it. But on my way out, I just want to let you know that you still will be getting occasional good songs from me that I'll be posting up for the show for the guys to use and sound bites and all that stuff. So I'll be around. Yeah, you can't get rid of me forever. I'm like roaches. But I'll see you guys at the Boondoggle, and I'm looking forward to that. And remember, President's Day weekend, February 17th through the 20th. And we're going to have fun and hopefully catch a lot of fish. So until then, I'm signing off for my last time on Kayak Fishing Radio. I appreciate everybody listening. And make sure you check out yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource, and kayakfishingradio.com. So until then, take a kid fishing, wear your PFDs and all that stuff. And I will talk to you guys later. Out.